This is international film and television star Nick Searcy, and for some unknown reason, you are now listening to Off the Hook Radio. God help you all.
And now, another celebrity PSA. That's public service announcement for those of you in Rio Linda. From Off the Hook Radio. Because we care. Sorta. Not really.
Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here. Reminding you to stay safe during the quarantine. Make sure you wash your hands and wear a mask if you go out in public. And, just enjoy some music today. Oh, I gotta go get back to a pork butt.
Pork butts are good.
I unmuted.
If you know how to make sauce, they're good.
And you muted. And you muted too, which is great.
Yeah, I did both. It was very exciting.
It was.
Now back to playing Angry Birds.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm there. I never stopped.
Well, welcome to Off the Hook Radio for October 20th.
2020.
You bitch.
Not her fault.
It is her fault. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. I went to see a football game with 9,000 of my best friends on Sunday.
Good luck with that one, because you know you're probably going to get the COVID now.
Yeah, I probably got the COVID now, man.
You probably do.
Oh, I'm dying. It's horrible.
Well, you had that funky official Tampa Bay mask.
Didn't fucking stay up.
Did you get yelled at by the mask police, or were
the mask guys were cool with me. It was over the end of my nose most of the time and stuff. But I was drinking out of my water bottle the first time the mask guy came down, and so he didn't say nothing to me, because if you're eating or drinking, you know, like Gavin Newsom says, you know, pull it down, take a bite, put it back up. You know, I'm trying to be very California here, because you know we had those assholes in the booth that hate America. You know, Aikman and Buck. You know, it was four A-10s flew over the stadium. A-10 Warthogs. They're based here. They're on a training mission. They do training missions anyway. What difference does it make if they fly over the fucking swamp, you know, the Everglades in the middle of the state, or if they fly over over Raymond James Stadium before the biggest game of the week on TV?
The only game of the week.
Yeah. And, you know, and those little pansies up there bitched, they're wasting money. Well, you know, it's not going to stop in the Harris-Biden administration, Aikman, you fuck.
Well, if they're out on a training mission.
I'm a Cowboys fan. I'm still mad at them.
Listen, if they're out on a training mission and they're flying back to the airport anyways, I mean, what's the big deal?
No,
flying
those back are training, you know, missions. They yeah, use them so, as training missions. So,
right. Yeah. So, yeah, they're not wasting
well,
money.
Well, then they I should mean, shoot.
Plus the A-10s don't get a whole lot of training anymore, because they get very little use. They're close ground support planes for war situations, and Trump's trying to get us out of all those. So the Warthog will go bye-byes unless we get into a shooting match with somebody somewhere in the next 5 years.
So the
but it was cool. But they bitched about it.
Did the mask police throw anybody out, or no? Did they? Everybody just...
Oh, they bitched about him and stuff. They, you know, their line was "Mess up, mess up, mess up."
But nobody got thrown out.
And so, if somebody didn't do it, they'd point right at them to shame
you,
them.
Oh, motherfucker!
I told you, mess up.
They should.
They
you
should
know
just bring a stapler.
And then, well, in my say, you got to understand, we were spread the hell out. There wasn't anybody really very close to me and my son. Two rows down and three seats over was a close. We had more than 6 foot social distancing. Believe me. The only thing was there was two other people in my row. It's a 22 seat row. There's four people in it. Oh. The other two people were at the other end. They crossed in front of us once to go to the bathroom or something.
I know what they could do.
When they came back, they realized they could go behind us and walk over the chairs. They didn't have to do that.
There you go.
So I know it was okay.
I know what we can do without the mask police, though, or for the mask police. If instead of pointing, they should just put them on the fucking Jumbotron.
Well, they did put people on the Jumbotron, but it was mainly to find cute kids dancing to the rap music they were playing. Oh, commercials. But I talked to the one mask police guy. There was two that I saw. They were all over the stadium, but there's two that I saw in my general area. And I talked to one guy when I went up at halftime. And I said, this job sucks, huh? He goes, it's all right. I said, you're the most hated person in the, you know, you and your buddies here are the most hated people in the stadium, running around having to tell everybody mass up and stuff. I said, doesn't it suck? He goes, it's a paycheck.
There you go. So let me.
Good answer, dude.
How much do you think? I know you bought yours with a package, but how much do you think that game ticket cost you? Just for you, not for you and your son, just you. What was the one game ticket? What do you think it cost you? $500? $400? What did it cost you?
I know what it cost me because they docked my account. My season ticket money is in my account, and they docked the account. Basically $300 a seat.
All right. So that same cop made $300. He was the most hated man in the world, or the whole most hated man in the stadium, but he got to see the game and got $300, and you paid $300. So I'd say he made out better than you.
Yeah. Plus he got to stand up there in the shade when he wasn't running around yelling mass because I was sweating my ass off the first time. Yep.
Plus he probably got the smoking lounge.
It was not. Yeah, there's no smoking lounge anymore.
Not for you.
Not for you. Anybody. Exactly. Hey, there's always a smoking lounge.
You don't know that. You just know it was not for you.
No, I talked to one of the people from the Bucks administration yesterday. He called me after I sent in my little report, and I've talked to him a number of times. He's a good guy. He's like the number three guy in customer relations. He's not the boss, but he's up there. And he told me they closed it down 2 years ago.
And really?
It's like, well, you know, I told you I wasn't buying season tickets again until you got rid of Jameis Winston. I said, you got rid of him this year and you brought in the GOAT. So I re-upped. He goes, yeah, I saw you grandfathered. You grandfathered in for the price from 3 years ago. I said, yeah. He goes, if you'd have waited till next year, you wouldn't have got that. There'd be a 25% increase. Like, what are you trying to bum me out, dude? I've already bought the tickets. Shut up. It's like, he's not a good salesman. You know, I always told my salespeople, once they say yes to the sale,
shut the fuck up.
That's right. Don't bug them anymore.
Well, it may be sign that the they don't care line. That since they've got Brady, that they're going to sell the tickets anyway. It's well, like in Foxborough.
I first got season tickets. I think the number was like 27 or it's either 27 or 32,000 had season tickets out of
that's about half.
That'd be about half the stadium. Yeah. And now almost every seat is sold on a season ticket.
Yeah, so they don't care. And they probably have a waiting list.
I don't know. I just hope next year I can move my seats a little bit because I did dog it getting the seats this year. And I was not able to get my third row club box seats that I had before. I'm like in the 12th row or something.
Don't a lot of these organizations have the football organizations? Don't they? A lot of them have waiting lists for the season tickets. I think Buffalo Bills is one of them, if I remember correctly.
I'm sure Buffalo does.
There's years and years.
The real waiting list in Tampa is, well, the Bucks might, if the Bucks have one, it'd be the first time ever, I'm sure. But the real waiting list down here is to get to see the Lightning. As there's only 18 or 19,000 seats in Amalie Arena, and the Lightning are the Stanley Cup champions. And even when they're not the champions, they've been one of the best teams in the NHL for the last 5 or 6 years. It's hard to get seats for them. You can get them up in the rafters, but if you
well,
want
it's the good same seat, thing in, wait a few in, years. In Foxborough, I mean, they keep about, it seats like 66,000 and they keep about 5 or 6,000. They don't sell them as season tickets, even though they could, so that, you know, people can buy single game tickets.
Right.
I mean, 10 years from now, when they're, you know, when the shine is off and it's back to normal, who knows, but right now it's tough.
Yeah. When I went on to pick my tickets, you had to go in order of your season ticket rank. So I'm somewhere in the middle of the pack now. But I went in to get my tickets and I went and looked for my regular seats that I have, and they weren't available. But there was ones in that row, and I clicked on them, and they were available for $6.25 a seat. I thought it was $6.25 for both seats. And I thought, that's a little more than my single game ticket price, isn't it? And then I looked at it closer and realized somebody had already picked those seats and put them for sale on Ticketmaster. they had no intention of going, but they were gonna rape somebody who wanted to see the Packers. That's what they did. And I felt bad for all those Wisconsinites, those cheeseheads on the east side of the stadium too.
They
were all excited for about the first 18, 20 minutes of the game. And then it went to hell.
I have a question on those on the tickets.
They look like the Cowboys the rest of the game.
Are you allowed?
Oh,
CB
gets bad, huh?
Yeah, it was bad. 38-10 was the same score the Cowboys lost by.
Can you legally sell those tickets for any price you want if you're not going to go to the game, or
if
is there
somebody
a
will pay it?
All right,
legally.
Because there's scalping laws, isn't there?
There are scalping laws, but there's also legalized scalping.
Okay.
Ticketmaster.
The legalized scalping is where the NFL gets a cut.
Yes. Oh, which that would
because
be
you have to sell them through the NFL ticket exchange.
Yes. Or through StubHub. What about StubHub? Is StubHub legitimate?
You can't sell them through ticket. You can't sell Tampa tickets through StubHub this year. Ticketmaster only, because that's where the cut goes to the NFL.
All right. So, but if you were trying to sell the ticket right outside of the stadium for more than probably 10% of its face value, which I think that's what Yankee tickets were when the last time I was in Yankee Stadium, you would get in trouble. That would be my assumption.
Probably.
Amazing.
Probably. So, but anyway, it was fun. At least I got to see a frigging game. But then I heard about Aikman and Buck after the game, and I was like really pissed. I mean, you guys have both seen it. My pride and joy in my cave down there. It's all three Dallas Super Bowl wins with the triplets, you know, with Irvin and Emmett and Aikman. And they've got all their autographs on a picture of the three of them standing there and on the field in one of the Super Bowls. And I've got a ticket from each of the three games at the bottom of it. It's awesome. And then Aikman goes, "You wouldn't see that in a Harris Biden administration." I'm like, oh. And actually, you would, you moron. You know, if Biden wins, you're still going to have flyovers at sporting events.
Yeah, that's just not going to stop.
Yeah. Anyway,
so yeah, he doesn't have control over any of that.
Yeah, I mean the services, I believe, pay for the privilege of doing that. They don't get paid; they pay for it.
No, they pay for the gas and everything. But, yeah, and somebody was saying, it costs like $400,000 for an hour for them. I said, they're A-10 Warthogs. It doesn't cost that much for those. If you're flying Raptors over or something, yeah, I'm okay, maybe it did. But these are A-10 Warthogs. These are 25-year-old friggin' planes.
I think they should have done a strafing run.
I was on the Green Bay side, too, man.
That would have been awesome.
That was really the Green Bay side, but the east side is where the visitors, the visiting team is on that sideline. So that's why I got my season tickets there, because if I want to resell my tickets, it's easier to sell them to somebody who wants to fly in from Wisconsin on their side.
Oh, absolutely. That only makes sense. I mean,
which is why if you look at my video clips of the touchdowns, it's the mirror image of the video clips you saw in the highlight shows, you know, Gronk's touchdown pass was in the opposite corner away from where I was sitting. So I had a different angle.
And that's also the reason why you sat in the sun.
Yeah. Well, you know, I could pay $600 a seat for real and sit on the other side in the shade, but that seems like a lot of money. 300 is a lot of money.
It is.
So anyway, people say they don't like Trump, but they like his policies. And they fear Biden's plans. And I think we passed the simple disagreement stage a long friggin' time ago. So we got a 20-something woman. We got a clip from her. This, I swear to God, she's no more than 25 years old. Sums up why we, and by we, I will just count DJ Slim in here because, you know, I don't know who's running on the lawn care ticket that CB will vote for, but.
Can I just say one thing about this clip, because you did play it before the show?
Sure.
She talks too fast.
She did talk too fast.
She talked too fast. I picked up like every other word.
I'll turn the volume up a
little. She obviously had it written down. It makes a lot of sense. It flows together real nice, but she did it too fast. But that's okay. The sentiment is what we want to express. Let's play it.
All right, here we go.
If you are a liberal and can't stand Trump and can't possibly fathom why anyone would want to vote for him, let me fill you in. We can't stand you. You've done everything in your power to try and destroy this country by tearing down our police, our borders, our history, systematically destroying our schools and brainwashing our kids into thinking that socialism is the answer to everything, demonizing religion and faith, and glorifying abortion, violence, and thug culture. From calling us racist to expecting everyone of every color to follow our laws to ridiculing us for having the audacity to wish someone a Merry Christmas or hang a flag on the 4th of July or stand for our national anthem or, oh, the horror, wear a MAGA hat out in public. So much for your tolerance. We are voting for Trump not because he's the most charming character on the block, but because we vote policy over personality. And we are sick and tired of your divisive and destructive and ignorant and intolerant behavior and beliefs parading around as some kind of wokeness. We are voting for Trump because of you.
There you go.
She at least she didn't bury the lead. She had the lead right there at the beginning. We can't stand you. We can't stand you woke motherfuckers. I am so tired of this shit. But anyway, I've never seen the media go full on totalitarian before. I mean, it's been bad. But since Biden got caught, it's just crazy. These are mostly liars and morons, and America is figuring it out. But with all that going on, with all that stuff out there, leave it to CNN to take Hunter and the Godfather off of Tweety for at least a day. Thanks, Jeff Toobin, and your little weenie and lack of moral compass. You guys hear about this?
I did, but this is not
Jeff Toobin.
But this isn't what took Hunter off Twitter and Facebook. Hunter was taken off of that for other reasons. I mean,
it's part of the totalitarian censoring of media.
It's horrible.
Into state media. It's like China.
And I have an update when we get to that on a change today that happened just effective today. So,
but if you don't know who Jeff Toobin is, Jeff Toobin is a legal analyst who's on CNN who is just ridiculous. But 20 years ago when this guy was first on, it was like, he makes a little bit of sense. But now
they all did 20 years ago when they first started this. Because
what's the guy's name that you like that does the charts and graphs and stuff on election?
Oh God, King. I just refer to him as Map Guy on CNN.
King, right?
King, yeah, John King, something like that.
John King. I like John King. He always makes sense. I liked Wolf Blitzer.
But they're on CNN, and no one wants to watch.
But now
CNN.
They're on CNN, and it's run by Zuckerberg, or Zucker. And basically they're just told to just bury any good news and play up the bad side of anything that we're going to talk about. Well, legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin also works for The New Yorker as a staff writer. And they were having a Zoom call. And during a 10-minute breakout to do an election simulation, him and seven other people, Toobin decided, well, two of those women on the Zoom call are kind of hot. I think I'm going to wank my winky. And he started.
Well, that's the question that I have.
Yeah, two of the women are hot. Which of the
little boxes was he looking at the time?
I don't know. There's two of them. I don't know if there's.
Well,
there's,
how do you know it was women?
There's a black woman that was good.
He could have been looking at one of the men. You know, yeah. You don't know it was
how
women.
Do you know?
Because he's been married for years.
So
had,
what?
So that, that means nothing. Come on. Do you remember? Have been married forever.
Who is the guy who is the really good analyst? Greenbloom, whatever his name was, used to be on CNN. He was good. Toobin had an affair with his daughter in 2009, got her knocked up. I mean, he likes women. So I'm thinking he was wanking this winky at one of the two women that was in the little Zoom box. And so he thought he hit the mute video thing.
He didn't.
And it turns
dumbass.
Out, it turns out, I'm surprised he gets laid as much as he does because he ain't got much to lay him with. You know, I think this is like a three finger whack job, but,
may not touch bottom, but maybe it plays hell with the sides.
Maybe. He got nailed for it. They all saw it. He thought they didn't see it. He comes back on the call like nothing happened, and they're all freaking the fuck out.
I mean, as well they should. I mean, seriously.
He goes, I thought no one on the Zoom call could see me. I thought I'd muted the video. They went into more detail about what happened.
That's okay. That makes it okay.
So when the groups returned to the breakout rooms, Tubin had lowered his camera, and the people said they could see Tubin touching his penis. He then left the call. Moments later, he called back in, seemingly unaware that his colleagues had been able to see, and the simulation continued.
He had to wash his hand.
Yeah, man. Well, yeah, that's probably. Yeah, he'd get all that goo all over.
Did he wear his mask?
No, he was not having safe sex. No mask. But this guy, CNN,
what's the mask
CNN.
Like?
Here's how bad CNN is. They announced today. Now he's been canned from the.
I would think
the magazine.
He should be canned from fucking everything at this point.
CNN announced today that they're going to let this die down, and he'll probably be back. He's too valuable of a commodity to just fire.
So we on Off the Hook Radio need to take a stance and make sure that this doesn't die down, and we share the shit out of it so this guy doesn't get his job back.
Well, he called.
Could join us. We're on radio.
He called for anybody. He called for anybody who supported Trump to get canned from their jobs.
I don't want to know what you're doing right now, Slim.
He's one of those far left liberal people who thought if you work for Trump, you should get harassed in restaurants and fired from your jobs and everything else. So, turnabout's fair play. I think Slim's got a good point.
I think we let him join us.
I guess I shouldn't call him a dick because that would be like, no, that wouldn't be good.
I just don't understand. I mean, it's like we go back to Wiener. I mean, look what he did. Not only once.
At least Wiener had a wiener.
Lots of times. Yeah, he did. He hit the sides and the blue. He hit it all. But
ugly motherfuckers all tongue.
Yeah, that's true. But what goes through people's mind to even think remotely for 2 seconds that this is even appropriate?
This is a good thing to do?
Yeah, I mean, come on.
I think I'll spank the monkey now that I'm on my Zoom call.
Well, you're a tech guy, Slim. You know, we go to you for all stuff. I go to Gizmodo, the tech blog. You know, it's a pretty lefty blog, but it's supposed to be about tech.
Yeah.
They put out some tips.
The first tip is just don't do it. But
they say it's happened to the best of us during this period of extended working from home.
No, it has not.
You're minding your own business, but suddenly a Zoom room full of your colleagues or business partners gets a non-consensual eyeful of an unsecured loin. Accident or not, it's really fucked up. That's what they say in the article. It's really fucked up. It's even possible this incident could lead to professional or personal consequences. We here at Gizmodo have been discussing the same problem for no reason in particular or at all or anything. Why do you ask? In other words, they've done it too. And we've come up with some tips on how to avoid using Zoom to sexually harass every single person you work with. Please read and consider. Tip number one. Consider avoiding having your junk out in the first place.
That's a good idea.
Pretty fucking straightforward and simple right there. I mean, it doesn't get any simpler than that.
They say clothing designers have known the risks of accidental genital exposure for years. They've designed several innovative technologies to prevent it from happening. For example, they've invented pants, which are sort of a leg clip system that adjoins at the top and typically shields the crotch from visibility.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, you might
have to pay
that. $20 for a set, but the good news is you can get them pretty much anywhere.
And you're not going to go to jail.
You can get them on Amazon.
With properly sized pants secured to your waist, your coworkers won't be able to see your genitals no matter what you do other than taking them off.
Well, he did. Yeah.
And they also remind you to don't confuse pants with chaps, which leave the hog and entourage exposed. Or buy any models of pants labeled crotchless. That's a big red flag. So these are good tips.
Well, wait. Can you wear your crotchless?
These people know what they're talking about.
Can you wear your crotchless underwear as long as you have pants on?
I think if you have the pants on over your junk, you're good.
Okay, so you can make prices.
I believe that's the slim. I think regular underwear and pants is sort of similar to wearing using a belt and suspenders. You're just doubly safe.
Ah, okay.
What if you just wear the crotchless underwear?
No. Anything labeled crotchless.
Yeah, they said that right there. Anything labeled crotchless, a big red flag. You also have to wear your pants properly, and they have little sketch drawings on a notepad of the proper way to put your pants on. You don't put them over your arms and leave your junk out. You put them over your legs. Also,
don't you remember Goofus and Gallant?
I don't know.
No.
Didn't you ever, when you went to the dentist's office, there was always a magazine there, and I can't think of the name of it.
My dentist's office was a dinosaur theme, so unless it was dinosaurs, it wasn't there.
I've never been to a dentist's office that had magazines that had junk in them. Just saying. Some other tips that Gizmodo came up with were, consider exposing your genitals only outside of work hours and not
highlights
while on a video meeting.
Yeah, again, that goes back to what I said. I just don't understand why you would pull your junk out regardless of whether you're in a break or you're not in a break. If your Zoom is open and you're, well, he thought his camera was off, but CB always thinks his mic is muted and it never is. So I can see how this could, you know, be very easily mistaken for some people.
I'll give you another tip then, Slim.
Yeah.
Make sure when you're on your Zoom calls, you don't hang any photos of your naked body on the wall behind you.
Ben's probably.
Okay.
You want to know something?
That's a good tip.
No, but you know, I got a good tip to add, not so much to do with this, but you know what a lot of these people are doing in their Zoom calls that like when they're going in and on Fox News or CNN and you know they're going into their specialists who are at home. Yeah. Have you noticed the product placement with all of these people that they've got their book in the background if they're selling a book? The product placement in these Zoom calls when they're interviewing these people is just tremendous. It's yes. Amazing, and they're all doing it. Every fucking one of them.
Of course they are. They're getting paid for it.
Yep, I know. I just add a lot.
Another tip is they remind you that Zoom doesn't let you just watch other people's cameras. It actually shows you what you're currently transmitting from your camera.
Yeah, so you might want to
look and see if your junk is in your picture.
and quite usually, if I'm correct, your video is actually the first one in the block, if I remember correctly. So it's not hard to know where you are because I believe you're in the same spot every time. So.
Well, they say there's also an end button on there if you just have to whip it out. Okay, you can hit the end button first, and you know you don't want your entire Zoom call of colleagues yelling at you. Cover that shit up. Okay. So that's it. Follow these steps. You shouldn't have any Zoom dick incidents, barring a freak incident such as a tornado whipping through your house, ripping off all your clothes, or a member of Antifa suddenly pantsing you, or all of your teammates obtaining and wearing X-ray glasses simultaneously.
You know what's funny about this?
Tips Jeffrey Toobin should have had before he wanked his winky. Right.
But you know what's funny about this whole thing? We got like a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, once school first started, we actually got a letter home. I don't remember if it was a letter home or if it was in our email, honestly. But we got a letter from the school that gave us tips for the parents for Zoom because there was parents sitting in the background of the Zoom calls smoking. I guess there was parents in the background of Zoom that had, you know, very inappropriate clothing or, you know, no clothing. So we got a reminder, you know, as parents, what we're supposed to do while our kids are on Zoom, because parents just don't even think about it. It's pretty sad.
Pretty sad. What's next? We got election coverage tonight. We got a tip from California, and I would just preface this by saying, remember, this is California. Okay. California officials tell voters not to microwave your mail-in ballots to kill the coronavirus. Microwaving your mail-in ballots is not disinfecting the paper. You also shouldn't use bleach or hand sanitizer, which could impede the machine's ability to properly read your choice for president. I think if you're a Democrat, you should put hand sanitizer all over it, but that's just me. Voters don't have to worry about contracting COVID from their mail-in ballots, said Courtney Bailey Kenelos, registrar of voters in Sacramento.
Well, but that's today. Tomorrow, the CDC and everybody may come out and say we can get it from paper for 7 days, or they change and flip-flop their stance.
But, I mean, this is how bad it is. California has to remind you not to microwave your ballot. You know,
it's actually on the ballot. It's on the ballot. I've seen the ballot. It actually says it on the ballot.
Does it actually say that on it?
It says it on the ballot. It's not just a...
It says, do not microwave?
Maybe they should just tell people to read their ballot instead of having to come out with a separate story.
It's just ridiculous. And this was actually on Real News. This wasn't just some backstreet blog that some dude, you know, wrote and made up. This is the truth. It's real. I mean, and this is how stupid America is. It's like when you open up that box and it tells you not to do something because somebody obviously did it. Like, don't sled down your fucking roof of your house.
Yeah, don't use your snowblower on the roof.
Yeah.
There's a warning on
snowblowers now because some asshole obviously did that.
That's what I mean.
We have these stupid warnings. That was in my snowblower manual.
Yeah. And we did the story, I believe, when you bought your snowblower. I think we talked about it on this show.
After this California story here, I was going to tell you a China virus joke. But there's a 99.7% chance you won't get it.
All right. Well, so we edited our show post and took 5 minutes out of our pre-show.
That was the joke, Slim. You didn't listen.
That was it? That was the joke?
Oh, yeah, I got it now. Forget it.
Never mind. I didn't say it was a great joke.
I do get it now.
Okay.
Well, I get it. I just don't want it.
So we're going to talk a little bit about the Biden crime family.
My non-joke was funnier than your joke.
Yes, it was. But I try.
Yeah, you're very trying.
Believe me. I actually write this shit.
And I blew it.
Or some of it I steal from somewhere.
Way to go, Slim.
That's okay.
I'm exhausted. What can I say?
It's funny if you can get it because it then give CB a chance to harass me. And
there you go. I like it.
It'll be out there forever.
Now we can talk about the fun stuff because this is
fun stuff.
Really, we're going to talk about the Biden crime family getting caught, you know, because Twitter, Facebook, and Google can't stop us.
They're trying.
And they can't stop the prez. The prez went off on them yesterday morning. You got a clip on that, right?
I do. Here we go. This is good.
Strategy seems to be to call Biden a criminal. Why is that?
He is a criminal. He's a criminal. He got caught. Read his laptop. And you know who's a criminal? You're a criminal for not reporting it. You are a criminal for not reporting it. Let me tell you something. Joe Biden is a criminal, and he's been a criminal for a long time. And you're a criminal in the media for not reporting it. Good luck, everybody. Have a good time.
Have a good time.
Yeah. But he's right. He's
got a point.
He's right. And when the press secretary retweets something on Twitter and her account gets locked out because it was deemed hacked information, which Twitter does not allow the sharing of hacked information. And they're suppressing this. I mean, somebody on Biden's team is actually part of Twitter's communications team. And that's how all of this stuff got taken down so fast is because one phone call was made and everything was taken down. And anybody who shared any of this information on Twitter, they were immediately suspended. The accounts shut down. And it's insane. And it's not fair that this censoring is happening.
It's a totalitarian. That's what it is.
And it's not
I'm going to use Jonathan Turley, a liberal law professor, to make a couple of quick points on this.
What?
Okay. I don't know if you guys read Sherlock Holmes books, but the Silver Blaze was where Sherlock Holmes was investigating disappearance of a racehorse. The local inspector asked him if there was any point to which you wished to draw my attention. Holmes responded, "The curious incident of the dog in the nighttime." The inspector objects, "The dog did nothing in the nighttime." Holmes replies, "That was a curious incident." The point being, when the story broke, Biden campaign was faced with thousands of emails that purportedly showed clear support of allegations that Hunter Biden was given millions as part of an influence peddling scheme related to his father, the vice president. The problem is the absence of barks from the Biden campaign as well. Bark one, that this was not Hunter Biden's computer. It is. Since he wrote this, they actually have the receipt that Hunter Biden signed when he dropped it off. Okay. So it wasn't a Russian spy who dropped it off. You got Hunter Biden's signature. He was in an inebriated state when he brought it in.
Do they have surveillance video of him bringing it in or a driver's
Giuliani
license?
Said that
3 years ago, wasn't it?
The half blind guy who does the repairs wasn't sure that he was stoned when he came in, but he couldn't really see him that good. The point is, it's got a Bo Biden Foundation sticker right on it, and it's got highly incriminating files all over it, including some with some people that could possibly be in the
cuties.
Well, let's put it this way: the people that are bought and sold, the sex slave trade kind of stuff.
Pizzagate.
Well, they've caught him with some guy from Kazakhstan, and a lot of these kids that are sold for sex slaves and stuff come from the former Russian states like Kazakhstan. So that's point number one. It's definitely his computer. The FBI said it was a computer. The head of the National Intelligence said it was a computer. The only person who said it wasn't his computer is Adam Schiff. And we all know how honest he is. But because Adam Schiff came out and said, it's a Russian thing. It's Russian. It's from the Kremlin. Then CNN and MSNBC and all the other liberals can repeat. They don't have to do any reporting or anything. They can just repeat what Schiff said. And that's the way they cover the story.
But I don't. I'm missing something here.
Go ahead.
Why? And maybe I'm just confused. But I thought everybody was under the assumption that Russia colluded to get Trump to try not or colluded for Trump.
Yes. Or did they? Okay. But Hillary made it up to deflect from the email scam.
Okay. All right.
And that's been proven now, forget too.
Okay. So forget my question because you just so that
yeah, Trump never did nothing with Russia. This whole thing made up.
I didn't think so. So, but why would they think that now all of a sudden it's from the Kremlin?
Because the media has gone on with the Russian thing, even though they know it's a hoax, they haven't given up on it. They just keep mentioning.
Turn the tables onto a different president.
They just figure America is that fucking dumb. They can just keep lying to you until Trump's gone.
Well, let me ask you a question about this laptop.
Sure.
I thought I read, maybe I'm wrong, is that he dropped this off 3 years ago?
Yes.
Okay.
For repairs.
3 years.
For repairs and I guess forgot about it.
He never came to pick it up.
No. Okay.
So we could explain so the trunk.
And the ticket that he signed said it becomes the property of the repair shop after a certain period of time, which
probably
he was well past.
Something exciting like 90 days or something like that.
6 months or something. Like, yeah, whatever it is. But
it's something.
So,
So it's been 3 years. I mean, I didn't have my laptop, I would know.
But he turned it over to the FBI in January of this year. That's the thing that pisses me off.
The
pawn shop guy.
Okay.
But
the pawn shop turned it over to the FBI
because of who it was that gave it to him. And he didn't want to be responsible for this shit.
He saw
what was on it.
Yes. And the second he actually opened the laptop and viewed anything on there that was, if there was any sexual,
out.
If there was any pictures of underage girls on that laptop and he viewed them, he could have actually been arrested.
Plus, if there was anything about Hillary
on
there, he knew he'd be dead. So, you know,
probably
he turned over the FBI. The FBI has been sitting on it, but the guy did make 3 copies or 4 copies of the hard drive and stuck them away in case he disappeared.
Good for him.
And about 2 months ago, he gave one of the copies to Giuliani's lawyer. Giuliani turned it over to the news media
today.
And he also turned it over to the Delaware State Police because of the purported age of some of the females on the laptop. But that has not been proven yet. But that is what came out today. That's the latest news. Bark number two, though, from Jonathan Turley. These were not Hunter Biden's photos or email. Even if the campaign can't deny the computer was Hunter Biden's, they could deny that the incriminating pictures and emails were his. Again, crickets. They haven't said a damn thing about it. It's obviously his.
It's very hard to deny emails because of there's so much tracing information in emails.
He's got a 12-minute video of him on there getting head while he's smoking crack. Okay, that is on there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's kind of hard to fabricate that one. Bark number three, that is defamation. This bark is the most telling, according to Mr. Turley, attorney lawyer Turley. If these emails or pictures are fabricated, it's clear the case of defamation is there, and there would be other tort actions available. It would seem that one of the hundreds of lawyers currently lined up by the Biden campaign would fire off an intent to sue letter. Truth is a defense to defamation. So the letter might start with the earlier bark and deny that this was Hunter's computer or these were his files. The big difference between the legal and political worlds is that in the latter, there's no protection for the right to remain silent in politics, in other words. In politics, scandals can be managed, but not silently. Instead of the obvious bark, the public heard something close to a whimper, that the campaign couldn't find any violation or any notation of Vice President Biden's official schedule that he met with a Ukrainian underworld figure connected to the payments to his son. Gee, I'm the Vice President of the United States. I'm meeting with a shady guy who's throwing millions of dollars at my son, half of which is coming back to me. And I'm going to put that on my official Vice President calendar so that everybody can know about that. No, of course not. Of course he didn't put it on there. So Jonathan Turley, who is a liberal, but is an honest man, says, bullshit. This is real. This is a big freaking deal. The lies by the media that it's Russia and a failure to ask questions or do anything resembling their jobs is the start of the totalitarian takeover that scares the living shit out of me. One guy from CBS dared to ask Biden about it. And Biden just immediately went off on him. That's what you do. You just make stuff up. Come in here. And then he turned around and walked away. And then guess what happens? Everybody on Twitter jumped on the liberal reporter from CBS for even asking the question. That's what's wrong. That scares me more than the fact that Biden's a thief, which is obvious. His son is a thief or just opportunist at best. And the media is like, nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. We've already seen it. It's like Jeff Toobin's little dick. We've already seen it. Can't deny it.
I haven't seen it.
Well, you don't want to.
Well, but they play the out of sight.
You might want to. It makes us look good.
But if they play the out of sight, out of mind game, they can continue to say it didn't happen. And that's what they're trying to get
across the finish line. And
there isn't going to be a finish line for him, I don't think. I think something within the next couple of days is going to come bubbling up, and I think he's done. I think he's toast. I think the election's over for Biden.
Here's my take on this one. You remember the feeling you had when the second plane hit the tower and you actually realized what was happening? You knew it was a terrorist attack at that point?
Yep.
That's the feeling you should have right the fuck now. That's what's going on. America is under assault. And it's by Americans. It's not Trump. Trump's an asshole. Okay, fine. You don't like him. I don't care. But he's taking care of the country. He is not beholden to anybody. He's a fucking billionaire. The man has lost $1 billion of net worth since he took over as president. He's lost $1 billion. Okay, Biden's got four houses. He's never made more than $200,000 a year in his life. How the hell does he have four houses? He's got as many houses as Bernie does.
Well, how the fuck he has four houses either?
Yeah, well,
we do.
Hillary paid off his thing. Hillary bought him his latest house when he bagged the last one in 16. But Biden's old, he's infirmed, and now he's compromised, and he isn't going to stop the 10% of the fools who think the USA is evil. He can't do it. And that 10% is going to run everything. It's going to be Soros and Obama and the media determining on how you and I live. Example, San Francisco this weekend. San Francisco, people actually had a free speech rally. A free speech rally. That's all it was.
So you basically could have come
and said, Trump rally.
It was a free speech rally. They were denouncing big tech censorship.
Yeah, it was a Trump rally. That's okay.
Favorite Trump.
Yeah.
Hundreds of Antifa counter-protesters showed up, 3 or 4 to 1 against the demonstrators, and attacked them and beat a bunch of them up. Knocked out one guy's tooth, another guy's leg looked like it's broke. And there's pictures, and they wear their Antifa shit, and they just come out and just start wailing on people because they outnumbered them. Let's see them do that when the odds are even, and it's people like me on the other side. Come on, bitches. I mean, just bring it. Okay, that's what the time is coming when good men are going to have to do bad things if these fuckers take over. That's what's got me scared. But I am not as scared as I was a week ago, because the polls are turning, the internal polls are good. And I looked at the, I looked at some of these polls that are getting closer. You know, Biden's only up 3 points, Biden's only up 2 points, Biden's only up 4 points. I looked at the internals on some of these, and most of them are like 29% Democrat, 28% Republican, and the last election was 29% Democrat, 28% Republican, and the rest independent. Okay, that's what people declared themselves as when they voted in 2016. These polls that you guys are seeing on the news that they're going, oh, they're getting tighter. These polls are 38% Democrat, 21% Republican, or 24% Republican. One was 27% Republican, and the high end was 38 down to 34. Okay, and then the rest independent. So these polls are exaggerated. These are not the way America votes. This is not how the last election voted. They're showing a 5-7% bias for Biden, and everybody friggin' knows it, but they want to keep trying to depress people that are for Trump. Don't bother voting. He don't have a chance. It's all over. Same thing as 2016. Remember that? Hillary's 95% to win. It's over. Don't even go there. Well, it's not over. It's freaking not over. And I love why. The reasons I found, I'm sorry. Tom DeBeccaro. I always say his name pretty wrong.
Is it birthday?
Yeah, it must be his birthday. But he says, just as in 2016, there's tea leaves. and they indicate that Trump is going to win again. And I'm just going to run through them. I'm not going to bore you to death with all the details. But number one was Pennsylvania voter registration. In 2016, when Trump won it by 44,000 votes, the Democrats had a 900,000 voter registration advantage over the Republicans. That number is down by over 200,000. And the advantage has narrowed by another 100,000 in the last year. People who register to vote for the first time, vote. That's the one thing you people need to remember. If this is the first year you registered to vote, 90-some percent of those people actually go out and vote. Okay.
That's true, but go ahead. I know you don't want to go too far into this, but just because they registered as a Republican, do we know that they're definitely going to vote? I mean, most likely they're going to, but I have a hard time believing.
If you've been a Republican for 20 years, I can't answer your question. But if you register Republican for the first time for this election,
you would think that they would automatically, you would assume.
Yeah,
but
they're almost all going to vote for Trump, right?
That would be my guess.
Yes. And Florida gives you actually a better example of the same thing, Slim. That's the second one.
Okay.
2008, Democrats had a 700,000 voter registration advantage, and Barack Obama won the state by 236,000 votes. Okay. So 700,000 up, but he won by 236. In 2012, that advantage was down to 558, and Obama only won by 74,000. In 2016, Democrats had a 327,000 down. So that it was down. It's down by over half from 08. And Trump carried the state by over 113,000 votes. Now the Democratic registration advantage is down 200,000 more to only 134,000.
So which means
that is
they're
down 570,000 in their voter registration advantage, and it's 200,000 better than it was 4 years ago when Trump still won by over 100,000 votes. Matter of fact, I saw a pollster, a Democratic pollster today on Twitter, said, "Thanks, Biden. You just effed us in Florida. It's done."
Well, but you know, this is another thing you have to assume. You have to assume. These polls, yes, they show that there's more voter registrations. And like you said, first-time voter registration people are most likely going to vote. They're most likely going to vote their party lines. But we also have to assume this means that all of the other registered voters are going to come out and vote. And I still don't think that's what's going to happen. I think
people vote in presidential elections.
They do. They tend to, yes,
yeah,
but I still
think... Not that much, though.
There's 125 million votes in the last presidential election. This will blow that away. There's going to be 150 million votes in this one.
But how? Okay, but how many people are? Do we know a number of eligible voters in the United States? Is that number known to us?
Oh yeah, no? That's known.
So
yeah,
it's
200 some million.
Okay, but so still,
I think we're gonna have a 70% turnout election. At least 65, which it will be a record for quite a long time. You got to go back a long ways to get a 65% presidential election. And people always say the bigger the turnout is, the better it is for the Democrats. I don't think so this year because I think a lot of people are like me and we're scared to death. We want our frigging country back. I'm tired of the riots. I'm tired of the crazy bullshit. I'm tired of the free speech being blasted to hell.
But it's not going to end.
You can't say what you want without threats of people showing up on your lawn and burning your house down because you have a Trump sign. You were telling me about that in pre-show.
But do you really think that Trump winning is going to change any of that? We're going to have
absolutely.
This. It's not. We're still going to have these riots. Going to have all of this stuff regardless.
Not so much. Because as soon as the vaccines come out, this country is going to go back to doing what we do. And that's making things and making money. And we're bringing pharmaceuticals back to this country and Puerto Rico. From China, that's a whole new industry that's about to open up. That Clinton, Bush, and Obama just gave all that shit to China. They just handed it to them. Why would we turn over our government to a guy who's already owned by China, Joe Biden?
Yeah, but I disagree that the vaccine is the complete answer because we've had the flu vaccine since 1978 and people, you know, hundreds of thousands of people still die every year from the flu. Yeah. And if they've looking at this coronavirus as bad as it is, where, you know, the death rate isn't really that bad. If people are still dying, Latinos, they're not going to change anything.
Latinos, Trump is up in an NBC Marist poll, which is one of those ones where the internals are skewed against Trump towards Democrats. Latinos favor Trump 50 to 46. Okay. Hillary won Latinos 62 to 35. That's a 15-point swing. That's huge. And I mentioned this on the show before after the first debate where, you know, our criticisms of Trump were fair. CBs were fair. I got a few notes from people about him. Why does he hate Trump? And I said, look, I agreed with like 70% of what he said.
He was an asshole in the debate, but he's...
No, the Telemundo poll...
Sorry, folks.
Trump won the debate 66 to 34. Okay, that is all Latinos. Okay, they respected it. They respected the fact he stood up for himself and stood up against Wallace and the wimp Biden. He is up with Latinos. He has got the majority of the Latino vote. Republicans are lucky to get 30-some% of the Latino vote. He's ahead. He's got over 50%. African Americans for Trump, his approval rating is hit 45% a month ago, and he only got 8% of the black vote in 2016. If he only gets 16% this time, say the 45% is way out, okay? Then he gets 16% of the black vote. There's no way Democrats can win Michigan. Democrats cannot win unless they get 90% of the black vote. If Trump gets 12%, he wins. And right now, 16% looks like a conservative number. Biden's also going to be a tax increaser. Nobody who has ever said they're going to increase the taxes on the American people has won an election. Plus enthusiasm. 46% of Biden voters in a Pew poll said they strongly support him. It's 66% for Trump. That's a 20-point gap, okay? The reason that number matters, in 2016, Trump won. He had a 13-point enthusiasm gap over Hillary. So that's another 7% there. Early voting in Michigan.
Who the fuck would be enthusiastic about Hillary?
Well, any Democrat.
A lot of people were. I mean, you got to understand, with Hillary, you know, not that it mattered, but she did win the popular vote.
Yeah, well,
yeah, no, you're right.
I mean, people were enthusiastic. There were a lot of people that were enthusiastic.
Yeah, but I think if the people in California thought he had, you know, if California wasn't such a mess, because Republicans just don't even bother to vote in California anymore.
Well,
so she had almost a 3 million vote advantage in California.
Oh, I know.
So that it was
that,
all in
that
one
Westchester County. But I mean, she did carry the popular vote. I mean, you can't dismiss that fact. She did.
She didn't win, did she?
No, she didn't. No, she.
If you go to popular vote,
where she campaigned where it didn't matter, which was kind of stupid.
But if you go to popular vote, then the Republicans are gonna go. You're gonna go to five states. That's all you're gonna go to, and Republicans are gonna campaign like mad in California, and they're still gonna lose California. But then they'll get the Republicans to turn out.
What I'm saying. I'm not saying go to the popular vote. I'm saying she gained more popular votes than Trump did in 2016. You can't dispute that fact. She did. Now, it didn't matter because the votes were in the wrong place for her.
Well, so now, but my point is she would not have won by anywhere near the 2-point-whatever-million vote margin it was if Republicans in California actually came out and friggin' voted. They did.
Well, you can say that, but let's ask.
But let's ask this question.
The turnout in California Republicans was terrible. I don't remember what the number was. I'd have to go look it up, but it was terrible.
CB made a good point. She had the popular vote, but the votes were in the wrong place.
Yeah.
So if Joe in his campaign put those votes in the right place, it's a
they have to be in the right spot.
There is, as much as people want to say, and you've got everything here pointing that Trump's going to win, I still support CB, what he's been saying.
Let's go to Michigan, Ohio, and Wisconsin.
Until the votes are counted, there's Biden could win this.
Michigan, Ohio, and Wisconsin are also a tell. The early voting used to indicate that ballots came in 50. Pew said that 55% of voters who voted early vote Democrat. Only 40% vote Republican. In the key battleground states, Michigan, Ohio, and Wisconsin, and trust me, if Trump wins Michigan, Ohio, and Wisconsin, he will not lose the election. The early voting indicates that registered Republicans are returning ballots at the same rate as registered Democrats. That's a 15-point improvement over a normal election year.
Yeah, but the thing is, this is not a normal election year because if you look at the amount of early voting that's actually being done, it's 4, 5, 6 times what has been done before. And what you're trying to do is
take a smaller
sample. Oh, yeah, it does. You're taking a smaller sample.
Let me tell you why it doesn't matter.
You're extrapolating it to a larger number, which may not be accurate.
If you've got 1 million early votes and it's 55% Democrat, okay,
yeah,
that's fine. You've got 550,000 Democrat votes and you got 400,000 Republican votes and a couple go to other people. If you've got 10 million early votes and it's 50-50, it's 5 million for the Democrats, 5 million for the Republicans. The Democrats don't have any advantage.
Are these votes counted already that have been sent in or not?
They're saying who sent them back, Republicans or Democrats.
But that still doesn't mean that those people voted party lines. And
96% of Republicans are backing Trump. 92% of Democrats are backing Biden.
But we don't know that until the votes are open. So those numbers are just guesses.
Well, it's still
polls are guesses that looks, because there's no factual
this
information.
None of this
to back
stuff I'm giving
up.
You is polls, though. What I'm giving you is facts that indicate that the polls are bullshit.
Well, no, I mean, you're giving another look at a set of numbers that we still don't know what the final counts are.
Exactly.
Well, so Gallup says 56% of Americans say they're better off now than they were 4 years ago. Okay? No president's ever lost with a percentage that high. Why would you put Biden in office if you're better off now than you were before?
You're right. But again, okay, it goes back to putting those votes in the
right
place. Yeah,
okay. If 2 or 3% of those people say, well, I still can't vote for Trump because I don't like him. Fine. He's still going to win. In politics, as of today, do you consider yourself a Republican, a Democrat, or an independent? The answer is 20, like I said earlier, 28% Republican, 27 Democrat, 42 independent. Okay. And they're running these polls at 37 Democrat and 25 Republican. There's another reason not to trust the polls. And one last thing is that
to say Trump might not win.
Voters still think Trump's going to win. When they ask you who you think your neighbors are voting for, 56% predict a Trump victory. Only 40% think Biden will win. So even though the polls are out there and the media keeps slamming us over the head with them, There's a lot of numbers out there that say most people, there are more people like me who are scared to death of what these people will do to our country if we put them in office. And no matter what you think of Trump, his policies were good for everybody's pocketbook. And if you don't vote your pocketbook, you ain't black. Right?
Something like that.
I know, that's a joke. Not a good one either.
No, that was that. But it no, it wasn't better than your last one. I'm sorry.
No, but I have our stupid criminal of the week.
All right, what do you got? Because we're
and she is from
Florida.
Nope.
Fuck.
Texas.
Nope.
Son of a bitch. Maryland.
New York.
Alabama.
New York. He said New York.
New York.
Okay.
Slim's backyard.
It might be Slim's backyard. You never know. Look out your window, Slim.
I'm looking.
A school bus driver from upstate New York is facing multiple criminal charges after police say she had a blood alcohol content over the legal limit while transporting a group of students.
I know where this was.
LaShonda Griffin, 29, apparently made an unauthorized stop at a McDonald's in Rochester to pick up her breakfast while she had six students from Gates Chili Central School District aboard her bus.
Oops.
She was ripped in the morning, and she had the munchies.
Oh, God.
They apologized.
She was trying to soak up the alcohol in her belly.
They apologized?
All.
Who apologized?
A student. Now, see, this is the other thing these days. You can't get away with shit.
Yeah.
A student who was on the bus during the unscheduled stop captured a video of what appears to be Griffin leading the group out of the McDonald's and back to the bus. At least she bought the kids something.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
She was drunk. She probably didn't remember.
You know, try to provide meals for kids in the morning. She was just doing her part. What's the problem?
Right. What a nice lady. She should get bus driver of the year award.
She wore her neon green vest.
There you go. She was safe. Did she have a mask on?
You can't tell. It's a butt shot.
Well, I have
judging from the butt shot, she could have skipped the fries.
Listen, this could have been a lot worse because you said she was, you know, drinking. Yes. What if she'd taken the bus through the drive through?
And stopped at each window.
Yeah, good luck getting around that corner.
Oh, I'd love to see
getting around
that
corner is a bitch.
Never would have happened.
Anyway, we had a story from Poland that listeners in the Third Reich states like California, Minnesota, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Maine, Wisconsin, Illinois, they should all listen to. You got to get creative to get around the power mad left. You're talking about California. You can't have your kids to Thanksgiving anymore.
Well, you can, but you can only have two of your kids at Thanksgiving. Yes. You can't have three.
Well, you know, everybody bitches they can't go to church, right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. In Poland, a gym, in Poland, they're not like Gavin Newsom. They let you go to church in Poland. Okay. You just got to wear your mask and all that shit. And I saw a picture today. You look at a full airplane with everybody wearing masks. Okay. You can put 200 people in a friggin' airplane as long as they're wearing masks, and that's okay. But you got a church with 500 seats in it, and California said you can't have more than 50 people or 10 people.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
10 people in California. Yeah. So this Polish gym has dubbed itself a church in a bid to stay open under the new antivirus restrictions.
Well, that's just like what we did here in New York. When Cuomo allowed the bars to reopen as long as they served food, you know, they were just serving potato chips and then Cuomo, you know, if that happened for 2 weeks and then they cracked down and said, you know, you can't just serve 50-cent bags of potato chips as your food. It actually had to be prepared. And
well, the Atlantic
Sports Club. What if you open the bag for them?
The Atlantic Sports Club in Krakow said, because fitness classes aren't allowed, starting today, we're offering religious gatherings for members of the Church of the Healthy Body.
There you go. Just bring your Bible and bring your pumps and you're good to go.
I see ingenuity still exists.
Yep.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm sure Slim doesn't remember this, but do you remember when Monday Night Football first started?
Unfortunately, I am that old, yes.
Okay. There was a guy, I read a story in Sports Illustrated about it, who in Cleveland, who started the Church of Monday Night Football. And they would gather in his man cave, in his cellar, and watch the game on the big screen TV.
We should start the Church of Off the Hook Radio so people can gather and listen to Off the Hook Radio.
What song do we have for the end?
I have a special surprise, sort of. It's a repeat that we've done before, but I do.
I was
have
wondering
something.
Why you didn't ask me at the beginning.
Well, I forgot to
because
ask
you had
you,
a
and then,
special surprise.
No, I just thought of it halfway through the show what it was going to be, and it is what it is. And
you'll, halfway through the show, you
you'll
just
appreciate
pulled this out
it.
Of your ass. God,
no,
okay.
I didn't. No, I didn't. There's a reason for it because we do shit. Have one of our personal friends celebrated a milestone birthday this last week, and I think you know who I'm talking about. Hopefully,
not me.
Not you so much, but Zip and I from American Idol. Does that ring a bell?
Ryan.
It does not. So our
it does not. It doesn't.
No. Who got old on American Idol?
Amelia Eisenhower turned 21.
Oh, Amelia did. Oh, hell
she
yeah.
Did,
I, yeah,
so.
I wish you were happy. I talked to her about that. Yeah.
So we're going to tonight. We're going to play one of your favorite songs from Amelia.
21. Like
she's officially adulting.
What it was like.
She's adulting. Yes, her mom she's even adulting. Said she's adulting now. So, yeah. And we love Amelia, and you know we will you know play her music whenever we can. So tonight's the perfect opportunity to play Zip's favorite song from her album, Amelia Eisenhower, and what is it? The Peruvian? Is that how they say it?
Peruvian.
Peruvian. Perversion.
Peruvian Farm Girls or something. I don't know.
Yeah, so I mean, this is
just
the
look
fortune.
Up Amelia Eisenhower.
Yeah, there you go. Off the
fortune cookie cookies, up. The name of the album.
Yep. Here's what
see
song?
See you next week.
What song do you think it is?
It's probably Guns.
Oh, you want Guns instead? I thought Black Dog was what you were.
Oh, Black Dog. Yeah, Black Dog's got what's his name in it.
Good night.
Okay.
Hurry up.
America, you best examine your pedigree and see who it affects. You or me.
There's a big black dog barking at the back door. Shot him like a hitman, blood on the dirt floor. Running through the street like he just don't care.
You don't have to go home,
but you can't stay here. Hey, eye for an eye. Gonna give me a piece of American pie.
Go home
with the devil, sleep when I die. Gonna give me a piece of it. Gonna give me a piece of it.
Vladimir the Hunt. Get my feel, don't get what I want.
Bobby,
I will steal. Let a nigga honey, I get my feel. If I don't get what I want, you know I'll steal.
Mama don't run and let the baby on the hip bone. Daddy's in the jailhouse, 20 years on gone. Put him in a cage like a goon in a tree. They probably got him, but they never catch me. Say, hey, hey, before I die. Gonna give me a piece of American pie. Give me a piece of it.
Lot of niggas
on the smack on Sunday.
Gonna get my piece.
If I don't change my
if
way,
I'm gonna sit for the wrong
girl. Because the angels are calling for
kill.
You and me. Yeah, before I die, gonna give me a piece of American pie.
American pie.
Gonna give me a piece
of that American
pie. Of American pie.
Nancy Pelosi, eat me.